This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. If you said Guys and Dolls has one of musical comedy's greatest scores, you'd get no argument from me. Lots of people feel that way, which is why there's been such excitement about the Broadway revival of Guys and Dolls. My guest is the revival's music director, Eddie Strauss. He was also the music director for the new cast recording. A documentary about the making of the album will be aired on public television this weekend on Great Performances. Strauss was also the music director for the Lincoln Center revival of Anything Goes and the Broadway productions of Drood and Evita. Guys and Dolls first opened on Broadway in 1950. It's based on Damon Runyon stories, and it's about small-time gamblers, chorus girls, and the missionary woman who is trying to reform them. The score is by the great Frank Lesser.
Yes, sir, when you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll.
When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane.
When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money. That guy's only doing it for some doll. When you see a Joe.
So tell me what the music director does in a Broadway show.
The music director is, I believe, responsible for all things vocal, all things sung. One of the music director's first jobs is to detail with the singers and the chorus the way words are pronounced. For example, I believe we should say guys and dolls, that the guy's only doing it for some doll. For one thing, it rhymes with a lot of other words, Taj Mahal. So it has to be pronounced doll. But you sit in a room with 30 singers and you teach the final chorus, the curtain call, where everyone sings guys and dolls, and half the people sing doll. The guy's only doing it for some doll, because there's a certain regional accent that people have that causes them to pronounce the word differently. So that annoys me. I mean, I'm really very sensitive to the way words are pronounced. So one of my first jobs was to try and convince everyone to say doll, which, believe me, is very difficult. I'm still running after people trying to get them to say that. Also, you're there for all the rehearsals of the scene, so you're basically in charge of the underscoring music, the mood, setting the mood, how you go into a scene change, how much music is necessary to change the scene before you go into another one. And then when you know how much time there is, how deftly can you do it so that it seems seamless? All the little magic tricks that you can do to make it a magical evening, that, you know, the nuts and bolts underneath, that has to do with the music.
Since you handle the pronunciation in songs, did you work with Faith Prince on how she pronounces the lyrics in Adelaide's Lament?
Oh, sure. I mean, she has a lot of her own special qualities, and brought them to it. But, you know, Faith Prince had done Adelaide before in another production or two. And this version of her Adelaide is different than the other ones. There's a kind of a realism in this one, a bigger heart, I would say, more humanity, I would say, than the other productions, which had a lot more characterization.
You know, Adelaide is a showgirl, and in the original cast recording, she's sung by Vivian Blaine. It's a role that's sometimes done very kind of Betty Boop, really played for the, you know, not very bright aspect.
Right.
So tell me some more about how you worked with her and what kinds of discussions you had about
her. Well, I'll tell you the best story I can say about her is that so many girls came in to audition for Adelaide with this Betty Boop quality. They all sang a song from the show. One was more, if I could say, obnoxious than the next, giving a kind of a Brooklynese, secretary, gum-chewing version of Vivian Blaine, who 40 years ago really wasn't all that caricaturized, but 40 years later, people amplify that in their mind. Faith Prince came in, and she sang Something Wonderful from The King and I, as Faith Prince, as a woman who loves a guy, and it melted your heart. It was innocent and sweet and wonderful and very tuneful and very on pitch, you know. But it was direct and from the heart, and she got the part that minute.
Adelaide's Lament has a really clever lyric. Did you and Faith Prince work on calling attention to certain parts of the lyric?
Oh, sure. Another thing a music director does, especially in a revival, is try and convince everybody who's singing that they are singing something for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a club act and you're singing a standard song that has become a standard over the years, you can stylize it and backphrase and do tricks to the melody that I think the composer would not be happy about if it were the first time the song was being heard. And when you're doing a musical, you have to know that it's the first time, no matter how, if you're in the fifth year of a show, every night you have to sing a song as if you've never sung it before, because the emotion in the scene carries you to a place where you have to sing something, and you have to tell the character and also the audience how you feel in song. So my function is to make sure that I think that the thoughts are happening in order and that the song is being sung for the first time.
Okay, well, this is Faith Prince singing Adelaide's Lament.
It says here, the average unmarried female, basically insecure, due to some long frustration, may react with psychosomatic symptoms difficult to endure, affecting the upper respiratory tract. In other words, just from waiting around for that plain little band of gold, a person can develop a cold. You can spray her wherever you figure the streptococci lurk. You can give her a shot for whatever she's got, but it just won't work. If she's tired of getting the fisheye from the hotel clerk, a person can develop a cold. It says here, the female remaining single, just in the legal sense, shows an erotic tendency, see note. Tendency, see note. Oh, see note. Oh, here we go. Like that. Chronic organic syndromes, toxic or hypertense, involving the eye, the ear, the nose, and throat. In other words, just from worrying whether the wedding is on or off, a person can develop a cough.
That's Faith Prince from the cast recording of the revival of Guys and Dolls, which is now on Broadway. My guest is the music director for the show, Eddie Strauss. I want to play Sumi, one of the great duets from Guys and Dolls, and on the new cast recording it features Faith Prince, who we just heard, and Nathan Lane in the role of Nathan Detroit. And she wants to get married. He doesn't. And now he's kind of leaving her for a few hours to go to a revival meeting. Of course, she doesn't believe that that's really what he's going for. Tell me about how you worked on this song with Prince and Lane.
I think they're such good actors. And I, as a music director, try so hard to be sensitive to the acting moments, even at the expense of the singing a lot of the times. And so this Sumi is almost a scene in itself. A lot of emotions happen, a lot of change occurs. In the beginning of the scene, they're just bickering. And at the end of the scene, they're so tender with each other. It's clearly obvious that they love each other and that it's something beyond just a humorous song about haranguing each other. And that's something that developed. They're such good actors. The music is so good that I encouraged it, if I can say that, to become a little something more than it might have been originally. And because they're so good, I think it's clear to see what they do.
Now, it's funny, you know, on the original cast, it was Sam Levine who played the role of Nathan Detroit, and he could not sing. So he basically just hollers
right,
this song.
Right.
Were you glad that you had somebody to work with who could sing better than Sam Levine?
Well, it was a big surprise. There's a big note at the end, a big high note at the end, which you'll never hear Sam Levine even approach. And Nathan is not the world's greatest singer, but he can sing well, and he does sing that note. And that's a happy surprise. But I wouldn't want him to sing every note that's written at the expense of the comedy or at the expense of the drama of the scene just because he happens to be a good singer. I think that's a trap, and I don't think we fell into it.
Well, this is Sumi, sung by Faith Prince and Nathan Lane from the new cast recording of Guys and Dolls.
Nathan, why can't we elope right now?
Because, well, I gotta go to a prayer meeting.
Nathan, this is the biggest lie you ever told me!
But I promise you it's true!
You promise me this, you promise me that, you promise me anything under the sun, and you give me a kiss and you're grabbing your hat and you're off to the races again when I think of the time gone by.
Adelaide.
And I think of the way I
tried.
I could honestly die.
Call a lawyer and sue me, sue me. What can you do me? I love you. Give a holler and hate me, hate me. Go ahead, hate me.
The best years of my life I was a fool to give to you.
All right, already, I'm just a no-good leak. All right, already, it's true. So new, so sue me, what can you do me? I love you.
You gamble it here, you gamble it there, you gamble on everything all except me, and I'm sick of you keeping me up at the edge. You're back in the money again when I think of the time gone by.
Adelaide, Adelaide.
And I think of the way I
Adelaide!
I could honestly die.
Serve a paper and sue me. Sue me.
That's from the cast recording of the revival of Guys and Dolls. My guest is the music director for the show, Eddie Strauss. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Eddie Strauss, music director of the Broadway revival of Guys and Dolls. I want to get to I'll Know, the duet that's sung between Sarah, who works for the mission, the Save a Soul mission, and Sky Masterson, who's a gambler. So they both not only represent different things, but they have very different sounds. What did you work with the performers Josie DeGuzman and Peter Gallagher on with this?
I think, again, telling their story, telling each other, falling in love during the song, but trying not to let the other person, well, or telling the other person that he or she is not the one. And at the end of the song, you have to imagine that they probably will be. Basically, I didn't do too much dramatically. I need the song to flow naturally. I think the most important thing is for it to flow right out of the dialogue. She's got a sense that she gets halfway through, don't worry, I'll know, for I've imagined every bit of him. And the verse, that's the verse of the song, for me, the way it can be the most realistically played is the verse of the song has to sound like it comes immediately out of the dialogue as just a continuation of the thought. In an older style or with different actresses or maybe a different music director, that moment of the song beginning would probably be very noticeable and the soprano would have a distinctly different sound. We actually lowered the key of her verse of I'll Know, so that her singing voice would be exactly in the range of her speaking voice. On the original cast album, the key is higher. I think she just sings right from the beginning. You don't hear the dialogue before. If you did hear the dialogue before, you would hear a woman in a basically medium-range chest voice say, don't worry, I'll know, Fora, and then become a soprano when the song starts. I think there are better ways to do that. I think that we can tell a story more naturally and continually, and this is one way we did it, by lowering the verse and have it sound as conversational as the dialogue before it.
That's interesting. Why don't we listen to it?
It is nice to know, Miss Sarah, that somewhere in the world is a guy who might appeal to you. I wonder what this guy will be like.
He will not be a gambler.
I'm not interested in what he will not be. I am interested in what he will be.
Don't worry. I'll know. For I've imagined every bit of him, from his strong moral fiber to the wisdom in his head to the homey aroma of his pipe.
You have wished yourself a Scarsdale Galahad, the breakfast-eating Brooks Brothers type.
Yes, and I shall meet him when the time is ripe.
You've got the guy all figured out.
I have.
Including what he smokes. All figured out, huh?
All figured out. I'll know when my love comes along. Some fly-by-night Broadway romance.
And you'll know at a glance by the two pair of pants.
I'll know by the calm, steady voice, those feet on the ground. I'll know as I run to his arms that at last I've come home safe and sound. Until then, I shall wait.
That's I'll Know with Josie de Guzman and Peter Gallagher from the cast recording of Guys and Dolls. There's a documentary on the making of this album coming up on public television. My guest, Eddie Strauss, is the music director for the show and, of course, for the record as well. What was it like to work with the singers on the song The Oldest Established? This is, you know, this is the one about the permanent floating crap game. Mm-hmm. So you've got people who are supposed to all be gamblers singing this. So you don't want them to sound very formal or very square. They're supposed to be streetwise gamblers.
Right. That's one of those places where the music director gets to dictate how things are said. And there are 30 people there, so they're all going to have one version or another, and you get to say, nope, it's this way. Of course, if the composer were there, I guess he could argue. He's allowed. But in the song, for example, in the music, when they say Nathan, Detroit, there's a long note written. So everyone, according to the way the music is written, would sing Detroit. And that would sound like a bunch of men singing, where really you just want them all patting each other on the back and palling around and lifting Nathan up on their shoulders. So I made it short. Nathan, Detroit. If you're and just ways to make the singing go with the style of the gamblers, just as you say. One thing also I got to do, which is have them say reliable. I like the word reliable rather than reliable. And especially having it, you get to say to people, okay, sing it this way, now sing it that way, and you get to choose which one is the best one. And
Sing that for us in context.
Well, they would go, why? The wrong way would be, why it's good old reliable Nathan. My way is, why it's good old reliable Nathan. And I just think reliable is an easier, it just sounds better. It flows mm-hmm. easier. And you know what they're saying. After we did good old reliable Nathan many times, just for fun, I wanted to hear it the other way. And they'd sing, why it's good old reliable. It sounded funny, so that's just a little example of something that the music director decides.
You know, although it would be a problem to have this kind of group singing sound too formal, another problem is going in the opposite direction and kind of overdoing the colloquialisms that Damon Runyon initially wrote,
right.
You know, and that Frank Lesser adapted for the songs. Was that a problem, too, not going too far in the opposite direction?
Well, and then everyone has their own version of that, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times in Guys and Dolls when people would start sounding like a character in Little Abner because doing it for some doll, they would sing, doing it, or they would just throw away G's at the ends of words because they thought they were hip and colloquial. But in truth, the Damon Runyon characters were very careful to pronounce the ends of their words, as we know, there were no contractions even. I do not believe, they would say, rather than I don't. So people had their own versions of slang or colloquialisms, but they were, as you said, they went too far. So we have to police that.
Why don't we listen to The Oldest Established?
Nathan, concentrate on the crap game. The town is up to here with high players. The Greeks in town.
Brandy Bottle Bates.
Scranton Slim.
I know, I could make a fortune, but where can I have the game? The Biltmore Garage wants a grand,
but we ain't got a grand on hand.
And they've now got a lock on the door of the gym at PS 84.
There's the stockroom behind McCluskey's bar,
but Mrs. McCluskey ain't a good scout.
And things being how they are, the back of the police station is out.
So the Biltmore Garage is the spot,
but the 1,000 bucks we ain't got. Why, it's good old reliable Nathan, Detroit. If you're looking for action, he'll furnish the spot.
is on, it's never too hot. Not for good old reliable Nathan, for it's always just a short walk to the oldest established permanent floating crab game in New York. There are well-heeled shooters everywhere, everywhere. There are well-heeled shooters everywhere. And an awful lot of lettuce for the fella who can get us.
You're listening to music from the cast recording of Guys and Dolls. My guest is the show's musical director, Eddie Strauss. So are you in the pit every night conducting?
Oh, yes.
Now, does that get a little tiresome after a while, conducting the same score every night?
Tiresome? No, tiring.
Tiring, right?
Yes. There's always something. It's never routine. It can't be routine because there's an understudy or there's a change that happens or a light that doesn't go on. There's always something to make one night different from the night before. And one thing, you have to be on your toes to deal with it. But another thing, it just keeps that live experience happening. And I really believe that the audience gets the most of us every single day.
What happened last night that was different?
Well, I'll tell you, last night in the song Luck Be a Lady, there's a bridge of the song, and there are two bridges, and they're both different. And the actor sang the second bridge first. Now, my problem as the conductor is, if he continues to the end of the song from the second bridge, I'm in big trouble because I'm miles away from him. But if he thinks to sing the first bridge at the point where the second one comes, or even sings the second one again, then at least I'm okay. You know, we don't have what they call a train wreck. And that's what he did. He sang the second bridge twice, and I don't think anyone in the audience knew it. But for those moments when we're leading up and the music is rolling along, and I'm not too sure what's exactly going to happen, because what if he just sings a big ending note and I'm in the middle of the song? So that's one of the things.
Eddie Strauss, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Eddie Strauss is the music director of the Broadway revival of Guys and Dolls.